Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. So glad you made it back for another edition. I want to thank you for the positive encouragement and feedback that I've been getting over this series called The Descent. I am actually getting at something, aren't I? Some of you are starting to see that. You're starting to see the thing behind the thing. And if you haven't noticed, I have made some changes to my thought of the week. I used to call it Winder's Weekly Wisdom. I now call it Winder's Windshield. If you are not subscribed to that, I encourage you to go to my website and definitely subscribe to Winder's Windshield so that you can get these blogs and podcasts directly every week. You can tell your friends if you are helped and encouraged by them. I would love it if you did that. So yes, many of you are giving me some great feedback, and I am trying so hard to help you see beyond everything. And what I mean by that is that we always deal with the things in our life, but so often we miss the thing that's behind all of the things. And it takes a new set of eyes, a spiritual set of eyes, in order to understand that and actually get there. And that's what The Descent is really all about. So today we begin our conclusion. This is the conclusion of a five-part series. So if you haven't heard the preceding episodes, I encourage you to go back and check them out. But today it's The Descent Part 5. And so last week we went a little bit into the deep world, the spiritual world. Now, if the subject of the deep world, the spiritual world, seems a little bit too abstract for you, it might even seem unbelievable, then what you need to know is that you too are having an inner experience. You see, not everybody in my audience comes from a religious background. Not all people would define themselves as people of faith. Many of the people who have subscribed or who listen have told me that they would define themselves as agnostic, even atheistic. And as such, you wouldn't typically define yourself as a religious person, a spiritual person. And then when I talk about things like the descent, and last week when I gave such a deep description of what it's like and how we get there, some of you might have had some pushback. And that's what today we're going to talk a little bit about. You know, I want you to know, if you are feeling like, oh gosh, here we go again, we're talking about this spiritual stuff, what you're having when you've experienced that pushback against it is you are also having an inner experience. You see, religion has easily concluded, and I think far too easily, that your resistance to the deep place is due to unbelief. And this allows the church to segregate the human race into us versus them, doesn't it? Right? Believers and unbelievers. It's very, very convenient to have a dualistic paradigm. And I want to encourage you to not buy into that. Please don't. You might already believe it. You might have already defined yourself as unbeliever and those people as believers. But that is a false distinction. I used to do this. I used to divide people into these two camps, believers and unbelievers. In fact, I often validated or invalidated the inner experiences of those people who didn't share or define their inner experience exactly as I did. Because after all, the only real valid inner experience can be mine, right? And therefore, if I'm a church leader, I have to then get everybody to have the same or similar valid inner experience. If they have something that's a little off, I have to correct them. It's my job to stop heresy. It would be my job to critique them, criticize them, judge them, and help them somehow retool it and define it in my paradigm, in my language, in my tribal code, not in theirs. You see, I used to do that, and I feel really horrible about it. Now, if your inner experience is presently one of pushback rather than a helpless free fall, then I want you to know that you are in really good company. You see, it's not that you don't believe. It's that you believe in an alternate system, and you probably believe in that alternate system for a good cause. Now, either way, this inner experience is known as faith, and we all share it in common. So whether you define yourself as a believer and understand your faith as the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, or Islamic faith, the, you know, whatever it is, faith, you would be called a person of the faith. And if you are an atheist or an agnostic or a scientist and you would say, I don't have a faith, then you're actually mistaken. You do have a faith. You just have faith in matter and motion. You have faith in the empirical universe. Right? So it's an alternate faith assumption, but we all have faith. And so you too are having an inner experience. Now, until we know the descent and the true self that emerges from the descent, we are quite likely to fear the descent. Now, from our birth, we grow up knowing and developing our surface self, and we prepare it for the surface world. That's where we live. That's where we think. That's where we spend almost all of our time. But we begin in a binary world, and that informs us of certain things that are hot or cold, light or dark, good or bad, wrong or right. You know, we're given equations, we're given systems and formulas and strategies and rituals that all make the surface world give up its goods to us. You see, linear and dualistic thinking separates everything in this world into tiny little categories that gives us a measure of control and comfort in a very insecure environment. And that's an important realization for you to understand, is that binary thinking, dualistic thinking, is how we learn at first. It, as we go deeper, we realize that that falls apart. Dualistic thinking cannot take us to the deep place. It's impossible. Can't do it. Now, the surface self, as we talked about quite a bit in this series, if it wants a healthy relationship, it'll provide a formula for dating or meeting someone. It's a how-to type of approach. But the very moment after you've met someone and we fall in love, we immediately turn loose of the surface self and let our true self go deep. You see, falling in love isn't something that you plan. It isn't something that you strategize. Oh yeah, you can strategize on how to get a girl. You can strategize on how to get a man, how to trap them, how to say the right things to get them to believe you, how to put on a good surface face to get something that you want, but that's not falling in love. When you fall in love, all of that goes away. You see, the old spinster that we've seen in movies and stories, and the misogynist, that asshole guy who hates women, they're both stuck on the surface. They distrust the turbulence and ambiguity of falling in love, don't they? Right? The misogynist and the spinster can't fall in love. They don't trust it. They refuse to let themselves fall. They want to stay in that binary system of control. To give into the deep part requires way too much self-denial. It's too much trust for most people. And this is because that pushback emerges. Oh, I don't know if I can trust that person. I just, you know, that's why I can't get married. I'm a commitment phobe, right? This is the same pushback that you experience when we talk about spirituality. And the surface self will always avoid all relationships, or it may even settle for a relationship, but it will never admit that what it really desires most is love. And in the end, it only is left with anger or frustration or disappointment. A lot of people going around just bummed that they can never find the right person, or they're disappointed in the person that they have, aren't they? Well, when you can't go deep, you have no choice. You see, the surface self tells us that the big promotion or becoming famous or having recognition, you know, that the stuff that we obtained is really satisfying. Yet when we look over our lives, we realize that one, success never really did fully satisfy us. Oh, it did for a while, but that was back then. And so we just enrolled ourselves into more pursuits, and we set the bars higher and higher, chasing the next success, chasing the next big promotion, the next big title on our desk. We just more effort, more output, more clinging, more grasping, more clawing, all because the surface self has convinced us that the next success is the one that will complete us. Well, we buy it all the time. It's hook, line, and sinker for most of us. Most of us don't even know there's an option, there's an alternative. But we know ultimately that that kind of pursuit, it's never going to satisfy us. It won't complete us. It never does, because we thought we wanted success. But what we really wanted was validation. What we really, really want is approval. And what we end up with is dissatisfaction, right? Success doesn't give us validation. It gives us a portion of it, but it doesn't give it at the level that we want. See, we want it at a deep level. We want it at a spiritual level. We hunger and thirst for something deeper, more meaningful. And all of the surface stuff only gives us sparingly, but it does give us something. It just doesn't give us full satisfaction. If we want to buy a car, we need the surface self. The surface self will help you if you want to stretch and say, hey, I want a new Beamer. I want a nice fancy car. I want a Lexus. I want a something else, right? And you know that that's a little bit beyond you. The surface self is what you need to employ to strategize, to execute, to work hard, to achieve. You will get that car eventually. And there are coaches everywhere. In fact, 99% of the coaching models and life coaches that are out there are all about how to motivate and empower the surface self. But getting a car is another thing. It's very different than going on a drive, right? If you want to buy a car, you need the surface self. But if you really want to enjoy the drive, then you need to access the deep self. If we want to power and we want to have control, then we need our surface self. If we want peace and we want well-being, deep, deep down well-being in the whole of life, deep shalom, then we need to access the deep self. You see, if we want to impress others, we must leverage the surface. If we really want friendship or love, we must let go and fall deep. The process for getting what we think we want is the opposite for getting what we really want. Do you see the paradox? The spiritual life is always paradoxical. Like I said last week, you have to give it away in order to possess it. You have to go down in order to go up. You see, the surface has everything we think we want. It's a world that Buddhism calls illusion. And Christianity says that that aspect of the world is fading away. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 7:31. Everything we truly want is in the deep world. And it's in the spiritual world. It is actually the very lasting world. See, a lot of empiricists and scientists always say, this is all you got. You only go around once. Show me something I can believe in, that I can put my arms around, touch, feel, taste, something empirical. That is real. That's reliable. But you know that the love of your loved ones outlasts their lifespan. Therefore, love is actually far more enduring than the person. See, that the deep world is actually the most enduring world. The spiritual world is the one that's far more lasting. Remember that you can't You can't outlive the love that you're leaving behind. Love, approval, acceptance, validation, humility, peace, they dwell permanently in the deep. And all our manipulations, our strategies, our gimmicks, and our games cannot and will not ever access them. They can't. It's like trying to put logic on a scale. It's a different form of reality. It's a different form of power. Now, you may ask and say to me, Kev, I know what true love is. I have experienced peace and acceptance. I've touched all of that before. But I still don't think I'm a spiritual person. Now, of course you've felt all those things. Of course you've felt love before. Love that makes you weep, joy that makes you cry, right? Because you've been in the deep before and you long to go back, just like I do. Every vacation we take has been planned around our effort to find the deep again. Everything we have ever gone after and from which we have turned away has been because we are seeking the deep things. The tears of joy, the tenderness of a pet or a loved one, or even that song or poem that deeply moved us were all longings for home. We want to go deep. We want to go back to deep. The heart of spirituality is that the deep calls to the deep within us. And you know that voice. It might be off in the distance. It might be clouded out by some of the surface noise. But you can get there. You can hear that voice again. And you can follow it and be free. These things mean so much to us because for a brief moment, we bump into proximity. We entered the eternal moment. These are moments that actually never go away. The thing that goes away is us. When that sun ray is coming through the window or it's on the beach and it's warming your face and you're having a moment that is so lucid and so enjoyable and so peaceful and so complete, it's a moment where nothing is missing. That's actually the eternal moment. And it's not that it ever goes away. It's that we do. We leave it. Our surface self pulls us right out and sets us back in order and process and distraction. You know that eventually that sun will set and it's going to get cold. A cloud's going to blow over the sun, or that phone is going to ring, or that something's going to happen that's going to pull you off of that moment and back into the clawing and climbing and struggle and effort and output. You know it and I know it. That moment is always there. You can go back whenever you need it, and you can bring it into every other moment. The deep life is the one that learns the path of descent. You see, it's the life that connects true meaning and learns to quiet itself to the gaming surface self. The deep life is a spiritual life that discovers what is really worth our time and effort. The deep life is not afraid of the surface life and doesn't avoid it. It tempers it and reforms it so that it no longer has the power to push back against the deep. You see, the deep life knows sorrow. It knows rejection. It knows suffering because usually these are the initiators of a descent. But it quickly learns that true sorrow is to live like a spinster or skim over and miss true love. So what are we to do? Really, I mean, this is where I may disappoint you. You see, I'm not going to give you a task or a list of things to do. I'm not going to prescribe a book for you to read or give you a church to go to or have you try out a ritual. If I did, I'd be no different than any religion that you've ever met on the planet. Instead, I'm going to give you a simple pattern of living. And then you can find the best means for yourself to practice it. You can find it and do it your own way. You know, in Romans 14, it says a person's faith should be between themselves and God. In other words, you don't have to sign up for the faith system, the delivery system that everybody else is doing. You just need to do it your way. Find your practice and practice it. You see, all religions and rituals can help you get on the way, but not a single one of them can take you the whole distance. At some point, you have to jump off the board and let go. Climbing and clawing and exercising and growing and practicing are all good religious practices and exercises, but they don't get you to God. You have to let go and descend. The gap between where your religious practice and the point of proximity connect, that gap is closed by something called kenosis. Kenosis is a Greek word that means self-emptying. It's the opposite of clinging or pushback. It's what a mother or father does for their children. It's what a true friend does for another. It's the pattern that he himself or herself has provided in every single thing that we see. There's a quote in Philippians 2:6 that says, though he was in the form of God, and they're talking about Jesus, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. So we have this idea in deep faith. It's revolutionary. God empties himself, herself. He, she descends. It's another way of saying one power begets yet another version of itself. The deep had to become the deep. Now, if you're from a scientific perspective, then let's look at it from that side so that you don't feel like I'm going too far off the rails here. Science tells us that all energy never diminishes. The universe is full of the exact same amount of energy that it's ever had. It's just the energy disorganizes and reorganizes into something new. See, the kale smoothie that is in my belly had to die so it could produce new life. We all go to work and we give of ourselves, we kenosis, we self-empty, so that others in the world can benefit, and we benefit from their kenosis, their self-emptying. Self-emptying is then the cruciform pattern of the world, and nobody misses it. Not a single soul has ever missed it. We just don't call it by the same thing. Science would simply call it one energy begets yet another version of itself. But of course, religion has been saying that for a long time, hasn't it? Everything we have and everything we have ever truly wanted has come by self-emptying. Everything we think we want comes from clinging. So self-emptying or kenosis will change your life. It's a pattern that will absolutely change every nook and cranny of your life. So is your marriage struggling? Well, self-empty. Are you lonely? Are you bored? Are you distracted? Self-empty. Is your career plateauing? Self-empty. If you discover this pattern and you find a means to practice it, you will find depth. You will find meaning and purpose in this world, I promise. You will begin to live the deep life, the spiritual life. You will live as a deeply spiritual person. Whether or not you attach a religious structure to that or not, you will live freely and deeply. And once you trust this pattern, you will want to go deeper and to discover, where does this end? Once you begin this process, you'll discover that this is where the new world emerges. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.